Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 16. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
It ended in their letters. It said farewell. It didn't say check back with us, tell us how it's going, give us updates, reports. No. It was local churches. And what this is saying, this was the crino. This was the judgment of those there. These guys used their judgment. They used their discernment. The word crino means to judge something, to assess it. We get the word crisis from the word crino. Crisis is the concept of coming to a judgment of a crossroads, and you have to go one way or the other. That's what a crisis is. These guys made a judgment call. It's not a decree in the sense that you and I might think of it. It is, in fact, a judgment, a dogma based upon the principle of love. So therein we get introduced to Timothy. They're going around. They're taking these principles around. Timothy's in tow, and he's learning. Man, he's growing. And it is Timothy who will one day pastor some of the churches that Paul founded in his travels later. Verse 5 is where we turn the corner and actually see it says, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, when you take the thorn out of the paw of the church, which is what they did, this is the second time it's happened. The first time was the Grecians were kind of frustrated because their widows were being neglected in the giving of the money back in chapter 6. And the Bible says when they got six men over this business and everything was done decently and in order, the Bible says that then the church grew mightily. And, you know, so that's an important thing. You get the thorn out of the paw sometimes. That's true in your individual life as well as it is in the church life. So they got the thorn out of the paw. They got the decrees out there. No more are they going to be saying or pressing home, you must be circumcised or you cannot be saved. Chapter 15, verse 1. You know, you can't be having that kind of a conflict in your heart and move forward. Well, once they got that all taken care of, it increased in number daily. Verse 6 is where we actually turn the corner. And we're introduced to the work of the Holy Spirit in the midst of the church. The Bible says we are made partakers of the Holy Spirit. And when we read that, we think it means we partake as if we would partake of a cup of tea or something. You know, I don't know. But the word typically used in that verbiage is a word that means partners. Partners. Chapter 6 of the book of Hebrews, we looked at it this morning, means be partners with the Holy Spirit. We're partners with the Holy Spirit. You don't go out there on your own. You go out there with somebody. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll send the comforter. He'll be with you. He'll comfort you. He'll encourage you. And when it says comforter, it's the Greek word parakletos. He's also called an advocate. Now, the way the Holy Spirit works many times, people have a hard time understanding because you can't see him. Remember Jesus said the wind blows? You can't see it, but you see its effects, right? Well, sometimes what the Holy Spirit does is he's a paraclete in the sense of an advocate, like a, you know, if you go to court, you need an advocate. You know, he's a public advocate. Okay, he's a lawyer. He's somebody who goes there and he argues your case. And he might be arguing the case between you and the devil. The devil might come against you and aim his finger at you. And he might say, you wicked, terrible person. And the Holy Spirit says, yeah, but you know what? You're free from that. You're dead to that. He's got nothing on you. Devil's been declawed. He's been defanged and I'm not leaving. Jesus ain't leaving. God gave his son because he loves you. You're okay. And he's your paraclete and he will argue for us. Jesus is called an advocate also, by the way, when he's in the front of God. He does that before the throne of God. Okay, he's advocating for us there. But he's also a comforter. He's a paraclete called alongside. He puts his arm around you. Sometimes he's a comforter in the sense you need to be comforted because you're in tears. Life's hard. And another way he's a comforter is the fact that he's an encourager forward. He's got his arm raised. It's okay. Let's go. Let's go out there. Let's go do this. Let's go do this for God. So understand, the Holy Spirit is a very real person. He's the third person of the Trinity, and he is the one who is shed abroad in our hearts. He's the seal of the salvation that we have. He's the one who is the earnest of our expectations, and many things could be said about him. Let's see how he acts in the acts of the Holy Spirit, which we've renamed this book to be. The Bible says, now when they had gone, verse 6, through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they had stayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So you got the Holy Spirit doing two things. You see in verse 6 and in verse 7, the first thing he does is he forbids them to go in one direction, and he suffered them not to go in a different direction in verse 7. So he's involved here. Now, the interesting thing about this is sometimes people get a little confused by the Holy Spirit because they want some kind of a supernatural manifestation. You know, they want to have a chill. You know, depending on chills. You know, you can cry over a movie, you know, a love story. You know, the guy gets the girl. You know, the guy gets delivered from some terrible, scary place. And whatever it is, it's like it's all good. And you can get a tear because good things always bring forth a good feeling. And the Holy Spirit's good. And you might get a good feeling by Him. But sometimes the Holy Spirit, like with Jesus, He led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days. So the Holy Spirit's real, but He's not to be confused with a chill. Okay? What He is He's a very real person who brings the Scriptures to our minds when we need them. And also He intervenes in our lives in ways that maybe we really have a hard time with. You ever had a hard time with God? I've had a hard time. God, why are you doing this? Did you know in John 15 where the Bible talks about abide in Him, and I'm the vine, you're the branches and all that. He says in every branch that brings forth, He's going to prune it. Right? Why? Well, yeah, He's going to cut it, man. Ow! I don't want to be cut, you know? Don't be cutting me. But I have to be willing to do that. You know, Jesus laid His life down, right? It says that He forbid them. And how did that happen? Well, the concept of being forbidden has the idea of being curtailed, chastised, inflicted, punished, lopped off, pruned, curbed, restrained. All those words come to play. In other words, He inhibits you. He diminishes. In fact, the word has a connection with the word dwarf. He makes you small. Okay? So every time they try to go somewhere and they're all up for it. You know, it takes a little bit to get your game face on, right? Get your game face on. You're going to go do something for God. And then you start to head out the door and things go wrong. Oh, man, the phone rings. Oh, I got to go this way. Suddenly, and for men especially, we get our mind on, I'm going to do this. This is what I'm going to do. It's frustrating. Anybody starts saying, do this, do that, something to the side, we're like, no, I can't even hear you right now. I'm going out the door, right? And this is what happened to them. They were going one way and things just weren't working. And it was so obvious by virtue of this being cut down that they couldn't go this way. Paul talks about another place where he says a great door was opened unto us. A great door. Fruit was there to be had. It's in 2 Corinthians. He said, but I had no rest in my spirit and I went chasing Titus because I was worried something happened to him. He said, I couldn't rest. And he felt like he was disobedient. He felt like I had a door open to me and I was disobedient. You know what he says at the end of that little narrative? He says, but praise be unto God who leads us into triumph wherever we are. He says, I walked away from a great door and God had another one over here because God is good. He knew I was dying inside. The Holy Spirit is the God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our affliction. And these guys were dwarfed. These guys were locked down. The devil sometimes will break up the road. Remember when they had a 2-week ministry with the Thessalonians, they were kind of growing and thriving, but they got run out of town because these Jewish persecutors came in. They had to leave after 2 weeks. And he said, I tried to get back, but the devil hindered us. The word is chopped up the ground. Well, sometimes the devil can hinder us and sometimes the Holy Spirit can hinder us. But the key is to be pliable in the hands of God. If the Holy Spirit does it, we need to be willing to be humbled. Bible says, humble yourself in the eyes of the Lord. And in due season, He'll lift you up. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So if you're trying to go a certain way, He gets it. He knows how you are. He knows you are laser focused on something. And He may have to dwarf you a little bit. That's okay. Good for us. Huh? A little humility is good for us. I don't like it. It doesn't feel good. But when I realize what's going on, I need to back down, find myself a little bit of quiet space, take a couple deep breaths and begin to just sing to my Savior because it doesn't matter where I'm at because He's there. And I can sing to Him and make melody in my heart and be filled with the Holy Spirit again. So they're saying they were forbidden. They were curtailed. And it also says that they were not suffered to go. He suffered them not. So again, an echo of the same. So we're being told that the Holy Spirit's very deliberately involved in all of this. And may I just suggest to you a few verses you need to recognize when it comes to your plans, okay? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." Do you know it's good for you to devise your way? You're supposed to do that. You're not supposed to sit around and not devise a plan on how to cope with life and do and be there for God and be there for your family. You're supposed to do that. But as you're doing it, God reserves the right to interrupt your steps. He's the one who's going to direct them. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." You know, the better you get about the day-to-day steps of becoming a good man, the more God's delighting in you. You know, we want to live a life that pleases the Lord, don't we? And that's one of the ways we can do it, is just by getting on board with God, saying, "What do you want me to do?" and going and doing that. Psalm 32, verse 8, the Lord speaking to his servant, he says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that you shall go. I will guide you with my eye." Now, we've all been guided by the eye of our parents or our spouse, right? You know, maybe they're rolling their eyes at us. Maybe they're not looking at us at all. You know, the Bible says in that great blessing that Aaron pronounced over the people, "Lift up your countenance upon thee and give thee peace." You know, sometimes when you're not in fellowship, your countenances are down. You're not looking at each other, right? But when you're back in fellowship, it's like, oh, it's all good. We're all face to face. We're enjoying each other's fellowship. He says, "I'm going to guide you with my eye." So those are just a couple of things I wanted to bring out about the Holy Spirit. And what we saw with Timothy was integrity. What we see with the Holy Spirit is intentionality. Think about that. He's intentional. He didn't want them to go this way or that way. He didn't suffer them. He forbid them. But the Bible says then after a season, the Bible says in verse 9, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us." Now, think about that for a moment. He's having all this diminishment. Okay, he's been dwarfed by no, God, I just want to get on with this. You know, we've got only a limited amount of time, resources. I don't know whether to put out my tent making shingle or not, because I'm trying to get out of Dodge. I want to go somewhere else. And he says, you know, should I make money? What should we do? And he's quiet and he's sleeping, and God gives him a vision of a man in Macedonia saying, come over and help us. And the Bible says they decided in verse 10, it says, "We endeavored to go into Macedonia then, assuredly gathering that the Lord," by the way, who's been hindering him? Who's been diminishing him? The Holy Spirit. Now he's saying the Lord, because they're one and the same in one sense. Okay, they're the Trinity. They're all involved. The Lord poured forth the Holy Spirit, we're told in Acts chapter 2. So he's the one who's had the Holy Spirit hindering them. And now what we have is we have the Lord, because he is the one who's actually calling them to preach the gospel in Macedonia. We've got Timothy, we've got the Holy Spirit, and now we have Philippi coming before us. Let your eye fall into it a little bit. The Bible says in verse 11, we set a straight course, and we came in verse 12 to Philippi. There's a couple other places, but they end up in Philippi. Now in verse 12 it says, in Philippi, they were there for a number of days. At the end of verse 12, it says they were there certain days. Now, the problem is they're a little bit out of the realm of Judaism's real impact, because other places, many times they have synagogues, but there seems to be no synagogue here to speak of. Their number one idea, we get to a city, we'll go in the synagogue and have a seat and listen, and they typically would give them a chance to comment, if they had comments. Especially Paul, he was a rabbi. Somehow, maybe he wore a certain respectable garb that they would know he could teach or something. I don't know. But they would ask him to teach. But the Bible says in verse 13, on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont or known to be made. We sat down and spake with the women which resorted there. You see what they did? They mixed it up a little bit.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.